And I'd love to welcome everyone to Citizens Climate University. It's a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that supports CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's topic is a wonderful one. It's Climate Conversations with New Acquaintances. As CCL supporters, we often face a challenging trade-off between being on fire for the transformative power of our climate solution while still being mindful to welcome divergent opinions about other solutions out there. Tonight's webinar really explores how do we find out what is important to other climate-concerned individuals to pinpoint where that shared interest area overlaps. What does that look like in actual conversation? Joining us tonight are two of CCL's wonderful group leaders from throughout the country. We have Miranda Phillips, a community organizer in Ithaca, New York. Miranda co-leads the CCL chapter in New York's 23rd District from Ithaca to Jamestown. And Miranda is also a career Jewish educator teaching in synagogues. In her spare time, she's a big fan of 1980s music, wordplay, musicals, swimming, dancing, and reading with her husband and two kids. And with her is the wonderful Mark Bossler, a long-term climate advocate and practicing cardiologist in Kirkland, Washington, on the east side of Seattle, in addition to being a group leader and the Washington District 1 congressional liaison for Kirkland. Mark serves as the chairman of the Climate and Health Task Force for Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility. Tonight's learning goals are threefold. We're really hoping that everyone attending tonight should be able to walk away with the three following goals: identifying where your conversational partner is within Yale's Six Americas to tailor your communication accordingly, to use a framework that will highlight to bond, connect, and inspire that Dr. Hayhoe has actually put forward for these effective climate conversations, and then lastly, to employ effective communication skills such as active listening, open-ended questions, and other tools that we'll get into in just a little bit. So to highlight this, tonight's agenda is pretty straightforward. We're going to just dive into a brief background that Miranda will walk us through on how this webinar came to be. Mark's going to do a quick review of Yale's Six Americas. All set us up for the scenarios, and then our two dramatic actors will resume stage and walk us through three distinct scenarios. We'll pause for each of those and ask engaging questions between them for what's worked for you, for those of you that are tuning in, and really gain the wisdom of the crowds. We'll do some final reflections and takeaways, and then close with additional discussion. So with that, I will pass the baton to you, Miranda, and sit back and relax, enjoy the show, and thanks for being on tonight.
So thank you, Brett. This all started when Mark and I were at the national conference, and we recognized how important it is for all of us to be consistent in how we train ourselves to interact not only with members of Congress or even grass tops leaders, but also with the general public in one-on-one conversations with the average potential climate advocate. Or somebody who's not a potential climate advocate. Just like with any relationship we develop, it's important to start the conversation off on the right foot. So at the June conference, Leslie Beatty, CCL's marketing director, suggested that CCL, like all organizations, has a personality. And I thought this was really fascinating. It was one of the presentations I liked the best. She suggested that CCLers are, among other things, approachable, thoughtful, and polished. And I said, yeah, that's why I belong to this organization and not another one. But I came away wanting to learn more. You know, what does approachable, thoughtful, and polished look like in practice? So tonight, that's really the goal of this webinar, translating this personality into our day-to-day conversations with strangers. But before we jump in with a few specific examples, I'd like to ask everyone who's tuned in, let's start by taking our policy carbon fee and dividend as a case study. Have you seen or been a CCLer acting approachable when describing our policy? What does that look like? What does approachable look like when you're talking about carbon fee and dividend? What I was going to ask next was, you know, what's the opposite look like, right? What's the opposite of approachable? What's the opposite of thoughtful or polished? These, those more challenging moments when we're not being approachable, thoughtful, or polished, you know, thank you so much for your thoughts on that. One thing for me that really helps is to recognize that we all have these tendencies sometimes, you know, to talk a blue streak and not listen, or to be pushy, or believe that we have the one solution. But I find it interesting and helpful to consider, you know, where do these tendencies come from? Why do we sometimes preach and wave the banner and highlight that we have the solution? Personally, that, you know, I have some fear about climate change. I have a sense of urgency about, oh my gosh, we need to have acted on this and solved this yesterday, where we don't have a lot of time. So I'm excited. I have this solution and I want to boom, 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 get you on board to support it so we can make progress, right? So we line up all our best arguments and we spill them one after another. But the trouble is that you can't know what the other person is actually receptive to hearing unless you get to know them a bit first. Knowing one's audience is key.
I agree entirely with one of the first rules of effective communication is know the audience. Climate change public engagement efforts have to start with the fundamental recognition that people are different. They come from different psychological, cultural, and political backgrounds, and they have different reasons for acting or not acting or gas emissions. So, you know, what kind of audiences are there? We're helped by some recent research that many of you might have seen looking at global warming's six Americas. It's six unique audiences within the American public that each responds to the issue with their own in their own distinct way. They're spotlighted here on this slide with the approximate percentage of the general public categorized by each frame as of this spring. The alarmed, they're us, actually. They're fully convinced of the reality and seriousness of climate change. They're already taking individual consumer and political actions to address it. The concerned, they're convinced that global warming is happening and it's a serious problem. They've not really engaged personally. The three of the other Americas, the cautious, and the disengaged, and the doubtful, represent different stages of acceptance of the problem, but none are actually actively involved. And the final one, the dismissive, and fortunately the dismissive is really only 9%. Those folks are either very sure it's not happening, or they have a vested interest in making you believe that it's not happening and are actively opposing any efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So as you can see, really the majority of our friends, neighbors, and larger American public, the people that we might start this conversation with, are on the left side of the slide. And that, knowing this, should really help you, make you feel a little more comfortable about having the conversation in the first place. 70% of the folks are either cautious to the left. Where we could go wrong with these folks is if we bowl them over. We start talking about solutions before we figure out where they're coming from. And we lose a lot of potential allies. But, rest assured, most of the people you're going to talk to about this are potential allies. One thing that unites how to begin, regardless of who you're talking with, is starting with their interests, finding mutual interests, the desire to find more about your acquaintance. This way you can also quickly discover who's less likely to be effectively engaged. The totally dismissive, maybe you don't want to spend a lot of energy with them. So I like to start with some open-ended questions like, it sounds like you're concerned. This way you have less of a chance of assuming where the others place themselves on the topic. It's critical that we provide some space and time for our acquaintance to share. And the worst thing we could do, especially if we only have a small window of opportunity, is just come straight out, hit them with our policy, feel like we got to get that out there, because that person may never speak to us again. It's also critically important to understand that we need to build common ground with new acquaintances, with people who are already active in the environmental community. We'll show a couple of examples of both kind of sides of the aisle, so to speak, later on. As a result, tonight we're hoping that we'll build some practical approaches to find common ground with folks who may or may not agree with you wholeheartedly, may disagree with some parts. some particular elements of our solution.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Miranda. I'm just going to give one helpful little framework from our favorite climate communicator out there. But before we jump in, I just really appreciate all the insights that you've already helped stimulate for everyone on the line tonight, also in the chat, especially in really providing our own reflections on how to identify barriers that we have in being approachable, thoughtful, and polished. So what we're going to do is actually, as Mark's hinted at, run through three specific scenarios that you're going to find yourself as a CCL volunteer probably already immersed within. And to provide this overarching framework for looking at how each of these scenarios are going to play out, let's bring in the words of Dr. Catherine Hayhoe. So this is actually from an interview that she had with the Sightline Institute, a wonderful think tank out in Mark's neck of the woods in the Washington area. And the author of this is Avon Frey. And essentially, what Dr. Hayhoe provides is a framework for really understanding how to jump in. Now, as a lot of the other research that we've profiled and other CCUs with communication shares, there's no silver bullet. There's no magic formula. There isn't a perfect solution, but there's processes and approaches that work better than others. And what I think I like about this three-step framework, at least from Dr. Hayhoe, is that it relates directly to what was just talked about by Miranda and Mark, showing how people that know themselves as well as their audience can then easily remember this three-step process. And that's why we're highlighting it tonight. So, number one, bond. Start with shared values. Find that common ground. You have to start with what's important to you and your family. Even if the world is burning, we have to slow down enough to realize where we have that overlap. What do you have in common? What concerns do you share? Jobs, health, you name it. Are you sharing experiences as parents or neighbors or other forms of common social connections? Looking to that following example then for what we're actually going to demonstrate in the conversations between Mark and Miranda to achieve or not achieve this goal. And I think particularly we as CCLers are good at this bonding, so let's keep it up. Number two, connect. Show why climate matters. Talk about how climate change affects the things that we care about. Make it close to home. Connect with local personal examples. Again, you could, for instance, discuss, as Mark was highlighting, how smoke from this summer's regional wildfires filled the air across your state, triggered your kids' asthma in your neighborhood, you name it. Specifically connect the wonderful resources and tools that you have and provide them to help sharing your story. And then lastly, you want to make sure to close with inspiration. So demonstrate working solutions. Talk up the real ways that supporting fee and dividend helps people, helps lead to cleaner energy, helps lead to saving us all money or minimizing waste or time. Linking your success story back to that shared value that you found. Why does carbon fee and dividend matter then, you think, to your audience or your conversational partner and new acquaintance? That's going to be key. For Dr. Hayhoe out in West Texas, her support for climate action and carbon fee and dividend always comes in these conversations through emphasizing that it would create more wind energy to help create and support local farmers being profitable and more resilient, for protecting farmland from increasing severe droughts, from bringing much needed jobs and economic investment to rural areas. You get the picture. A really important thing here is to key in on making it your own and connecting it back to your conversation with your partner. So let's jump in, right? If this, with all this in mind, bonding, connecting, and inspiring, I'm guessing a lot of us on the line are already wonderful at doing that. Let's put this into work and actually see what this looks like with some conversations. So for the first scenario tonight, we'll actually go through the same interaction three times. We promise it'll be quick. To demonstrate a bad and then a better and then a best approach alliteratively and help make some of these things fun by spotlighting both the ineffective and then the more effective ways of demonstrating what we've been talking about. So for this first scenario, I'm going to need two dramatic actors and we'll go through the same interaction again three times. This first one we'll call Strangers on a Train. The setting is a train in a metro, wherever you live, closest to you. Mark will be playing a nondescript stranger commuting to work, and Miranda will be an enthusiastic CCL volunteer. Mark and Miranda happen to meet sitting down next to each other, and they'll take it from here. Action.
Good morning.
Good morning. Let me tell you about my favorite organization. I know you're going to love it. It's CCL, Citizens Climate Lobby, and we're a grassroots nonprofit organization laser focused on addressing climate change by bringing Republicans and Democrats together to bridge the partisan divide through uniting support around a common sense economic solution known as carbon fee and dividend.
Oh, that's interesting.
Carbon fee and dividend puts a steadily rising fee on all fuels that emit greenhouse gas emissions based on their carbon dioxide content, and then returns the money back to American households to protect low and middle income families as we transition to cleaner, affordable energy. Our policy has support from such notables as Dr. James Hansen, Catherine Hayhoe, George Shultz, James Baker, Robert Reif, and even major corporations like General Motors and ExxonMobil. Have you heard about it?
Oh, great, thanks.
Are you concerned about climate change too?
Yes.
Awesome. It's so important. Given the urgency of addressing the many threats from climate change, this kind of approach is important for everyone to support by writing their member of Congress. Between the national security risks of destabilizing some of the most impacted nations, creating refugee crises throughout the world, the wildfires and desertification of arable farmland, the melting of polar ice caps and encroaching sea level rise, the acidification and the rapidly warming temperatures of the entire ocean that is impacting the very building blocks of our fragile ecosystem, climate change is affecting all of us all the time. I personally write or call my members as often as I can and ask them for their support for carbon fee and dividend. Let me get you a letter and have your voice added to these efforts. It's critical for all of us to speak up.
Oh, thanks. But my stop is right here.
Oh, okay, great. Well, I know we'd love to have your help and involvement. Volunteers in Citizens Climate Lobby are the biggest part of the reason for the Citizen Climate Solutions Caucus in the U.S. House of Representatives.
All right, pause. Great work. We'll break this down really quick. Thank you very much, Mark and Miranda. So we won't be stopping Q&A between the bad, better, best here, but we will break it down in a little bit. And I just would love to pose a quick question for everyone here, a couple of them that you can key in on for each of these. So after this exchange, what do you think Mark's impression was? Where do you think he was in the Six Americas? Do we even know? If Mark's already concerned, is he likely to have, you know, minimal takeaways gained from this exchange? I think that's really the key question to look at for each of these. Secondly, look for what did Miranda do to elicit information and bond with Mark? How did they bond in this case? You know, she was certainly able to emphasize solutions and inspire, but her approach didn't leave much room for Mark to have any chance to interact. Miranda also launched into describing fee and dividend and climate solutions, again, as we've highlighted, to inspire, but that someone didn't invite it. This guy, you know, from the look of it, had a body language that seemed skeptical at best. So it's key in our interaction to really maintain any natural enthusiasm, but not overwhelm, right? It's a tightrope walk that we're walking. We want to pull him in. So the overall goal, again, too, is another thing to key into. What are our goals for interactions like this? Returning back to that framework, I venture that it's a simple three-word answer: to bond, connect, and inspire. So let's try this again, and I'll pass it back to you, Miranda and Mark. Maybe we can get our act together, if you will, a little bit more this time around, and we'll try it out. Strangers on a train, take two, action.
Morning.
Morning. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks. And yourself?
I'm doing well, too. I appreciate your asking. I'm actually on my way to a rally for climate solutions today. What are your thoughts on climate change?
Well, you certainly jumped into a deep topic. I guess it's something that really worries me, but quite frankly, I don't know what to do about it. So I just tend not to think about it very often and hope that other people out there who are working on it figure the big things out.
Well, thanks for sharing. I really relate. It seems like you're kind of where I was before I got involved locally as a volunteer with this group called Citizens Climate Lobby. Beyond showing up to rallies occasionally, we actually do most of our local work through our monthly meetings. They're social and fun and bring together a lot of interesting community members to take action on climate change. We'd love to have you join us.
Thanks. I'd like to do more, but I'm pretty busy with work and family.
Well, that's all right. Family and work are important, of course. If you have the time, we meet monthly at noon on the second Saturday at the downtown library, and our local group is always happy to have new community members stop by.
Oh, great. I'll look you guys up on Facebook. And I appreciate the invitation.
Thanks. It's a pleasure to meet.
So again, comparing that to the first one, just think for a moment and feel free to take notes down. We'll get to the analysis of this after the best example. What do you think Mark's impression was of Miranda and the solution she was discussing? Where do you think he was within that Six Americas framework that Mark introduced earlier? What do you think Miranda did specifically to elicit information and bond with Mark on this example? And then lastly, what again were the goals for this interaction? Did anything change because of the way that she handled this compared to the first attempt? So think about those. Feel free to write down any notes, and we'll get to a Q&A discussion on it to get your feedback in just a bit. But first, let's jump into one last rendition, and I'll pass the baton, and Strangers on a Train, take three, action.
Good morning.
Morning. How's your day going so far?
Well, and yours?
Thanks for asking. It's going well, too. I'm actually on a train heading to the local Climate Solutions rally. Have you heard about it?
I think I did read about it in the newspaper yesterday. What's the deal again?
Well, it's a big gathering of metro environmental organizations to show that there's many important solutions already out there to address the risks that come with climate change. What's your name?
Thanks. It's Mark Bossler. Nice to meet you.
Miranda Phillips. You seem to read the news quite a bit. What are your thoughts on the topic?
Well, just to be honest, it's something that worries me a bit, but it really worries me, but I don't know what to do about it. So I just tend not to think about it very often and hope there are people out there who are working to figure out the big things.
It sounds like you're worried, but this is hard to think about. Is that right?
Paralyzing, actually.
I'm right there with you. For me, I find that if there's a positive action I can take, especially one that works at the pace and scale of the problem, it makes it feel worth taking action. Mm. Have you heard about one of the climate solutions out there called Fee and Dividend?
I can't say that I have. What is it?
It's a policy that a group that I volunteer with, Citizens Climate Lobby, is advocating, along with a lot of really cool people who study this issue, from climate scientists to economists, political leaders. Basically, it would make carbon-based fuels more expensive over time by putting a rising fee on them. Mm. And then all the revenue collected would be given back to households through monthly dividend checks to protect people from any rising energy costs while incentivizing all of us to switch to cleaner energy. What do you think of that?
Well, I have to admit, just hearing about it, I really don't know, but it seems to make sense. What's the holdup?
Well, honestly, one of the reasons that I think not enough people know about it. We don't talk about solutions and empower people like you or I enough. And that's why I love working with CCL. We're trying to tackle just that. With your concern on this issue, would you be willing to write or call Congress about this?
Jeez, I'm not sure. I don't really get involved in politics.
Is it too divisive?
Well, especially recently. You know, even before the 2016 election, though, I don't have much trust that things can really change.
I totally understand. For what it's worth, what appeals to me about CCL is that it empowers volunteers to see how my voice and involvement does contribute to making a difference. What kind of involvement with local advocacy is most meaningful to you?
I don't think I've ever really been asked that. I suppose it might be getting the word out to the larger public about the urgency of acting now.
That is so key. Within CCL, we have teams working on all sorts of things, and one of them trains folks to help leverage traditional media like print and radio, as well as online social media to do just that. Here's our local group card, and know that you can shoot us an email anytime. We really enjoy getting to know new community members and help you see that your voice can make a difference.
Hey, that's great. Hey, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Know that you're invited anytime to our local meetup. Our next one is this Saturday. You can see on the card we meet monthly at noon on the second Saturday at the Downtown Library. Our local group is always happy to have new community members stop by. But mostly, I really appreciate having a conversation on this topic. The more we can come together to talk about climate change, the sooner we can work towards solutions.
Great. I agree. I look forward to being in touch.
So let's pivot to the wisdom of the crowd here. So let's go through those three questions again here. Where do you think Mark's impression was throughout that overall exchange from bad, better to best? And where do you think he was within the six Americas tonight? What are your goals for interactions like this? What do you kind of go into a conversation on a train with the intention of doing? You know, is it too different from what we're talking about? What have you found to be effective?
One of the things that I noticed in the different ways, Miranda, that you came across was, certainly I'm in the alarmed camp, and I don't know that it's very good to convey that. As you did the three different ones, you got more and more relaxed, and you had a conversation. And I think, in looking at that, I think I'd most just like to have a good conversation about the topic and not feel like I've got to convince them of anything. And I think just a good conversation about it opens up then the potential to mention Citizens Climate Lobby or invitation. Or so just really sort of the attitude and feel and what are you after? And so for me, I think I'm going to go more for just a good conversation, and it'll be about climate, and I'll probably be really successful if I do that. So
thank you for chiming in here. And absolutely, I think distilling down what the whole intention of this framing is about. And let's move on to the next scenario. So we've got a lot of the six Americas left to explore. We kind of hung around that middle area. Let's swing over to the far side of working with folks that are dismissive, if you will, and what we can really do with that. So the second scenario is taking place at a local Rotary meeting. And our dramatic personnel are including Mark, this time the enthusiastic CCL volunteer, and Miranda, a local businesswoman attending that meeting. So they happen to meet in line while at coffee, and I'll let them take it from here. Action.
Hello.
Hello. How are you today? Enjoying Rotary's infamous coffee?
Well, I'll say it's not what brings me to the weekly gathering.
I entirely agree. What does bring you here to the gathering, though? What's your business?
Well, thanks for asking. I'm co-owner of Fisher's Local Heating and Ductwork. How about you?
I'm an emergency physician over at Evergreen Hospital, and I'm here because I enjoy collaborating, bring our local businesses together for effective responses to climate change.
Well, there's no need to waste your time on that one. It's all going to work itself out naturally, like it has the last dozen times we've gone through the cycle of the Earth warming and cooling.
Huh. Interesting. Tell me a little more.
Well, everything I've read and heard from the experts highlights how uncertain most credible scientists really are with the amount that can really be attributed to humans. They're still figuring out really critical details, like how much heat is actually being emitted and whether this would actually benefit our farms, since additional carbon dioxide does help plants grow.
Those are all really fascinating questions. For me, even if the real warming that we're seeing globally, which I think is demonstrating major public health concerns from expanded disease vectors like, you know, Zika, and inhalation of particulate matter from all the wildfires this summer, even if warming isn't directly due to human activities, it's happening at a rate that should concern all of our business interests as a real economic threat. How do you manage risk in your job?
Well, work-wise, we do tons of safety training for our employees, and financially, we make long-term decisions that we know will have higher likelihood to pay off. But I don't think this connects with global warming hysteria.
It sounds like a good approach to me. For me, to make sure we don't fall into hysteria, managing risk from climate change would be similar to what you've shared, driven by safety and long-term financial decisions. What are your thoughts on taking an insurance policy on the potential risks from climate change, like President Reagan and Secretary of State George Shultz did in the 1980s for ozone?
I'm not sure what that is.
President Reagan faced a similar situation. There was depletion of the ozone. There were people who thought there was a problem, people who doubted it, but they all agreed that there's big consequences if it happened. So together with Secretary Shultz, they decided, look, let's take out a, quote, insurance policy. We might be wrong, but the insurance policy is not going to cost us forever. As it turned out, the scientists who were worried were right, and Reagan's Montreal Protocol came in just in time.
For me, it's probably just another excuse to expand the bureaucratic state. And besides, if things get out of hand, we can always do several geoengineering approaches, like cloud seeding with iron filings. Humans are innovative beyond what we can imagine.
Well, I entirely agree with you about human innovation as a force that we should be harnessing more powerfully. I also want to acknowledge that I don't know all the details. That's why principles like conservative risk management are so important to me.
I do agree on the importance of conservative principles guiding important decisions.
Yeah, I tend to think like Secretary Schultz. You minimize the need for government by setting the price right and letting the market and free enterprise get to work. But the real cost of fuels is factored in. Hey, look, it's a pleasure to meet you. And thanks for your local service. I know we're going to get back to our tables, but if you'd ever like to talk to me more about local businesses and climate change, here's my card. I appreciate your perspective and look forward to seeing you around here.
Well, thanks. Pleasure to meet as well.
All right, so let's go back to our questions again, the three that we're looking at. What do you think Miranda's impression of Mark's exchange was, and where do you think she belonged on the Six Americas location based on that exchange? And what are your goals when you find yourself in conversations like this?
I was just going to butt in that what's really important for me when I talk to someone like Miranda's character is that I don't lose my cool. It can be very frustrating when people say things that you know aren't true and you really want to say, but 97% of scientists agree. It doesn't really help.
That's really vulnerable of you, Mark, and I think a lot of us can identify with falling into that trap, and I think that's the whole purpose of tonight. Help them provide some examples of how to keep your cool. What specific techniques did you notice that Mark did to elicit information and bond with Miranda? What was it that you might take into your next interaction that you appreciated about this example?
He always found something to agree with in what I had said, and he focused on that. So like there were a lot of things that I said that he could have argued with, but instead he chose to focus on places where we could agree and then say something affirming. He did affirmations like in motivational interviewing.
Yeah, absolutely. That affirmation is key. We'll talk about some MI techniques here at the end. And Bob, Allison, and Lynn also concur about emphasizing that finding agreement where you can, asking for your thoughts on how to approach the issue and accepting your view as it is, rather than making it Mark's mission to change it. Tonight, let's move on to our last frame, and then we'll do one last reflection on this. But the scene is set for a third scenario with an engaging environmental supporter. The setting's an environmental march happening on a street near you. Mark plays an enthusiastic CCL volunteer, and Miranda plays another enthusiastic volunteer, but this time from a different environmental group. They happen to meet on the street while getting ready and lining up for the event, and I'll pass it to you. Action.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Well, thanks. It's so important that we're taking the issue of climate change to the streets this weekend.
Couldn't agree with you more. The need to act has never been clearer.
I am so frustrated with how pathetically little our government has done about it. But I guess I'm not surprised, given all the dark money they keep getting from special interests.
Yeah, the lack of urgency in our government's response is mind-blowing. No doubt we face huge, huge environmental challenges that are overwhelming. I try to find hope in the solutions already being taken by everyday people. What kinds of solutions are you out here supporting?
Our group is calling for 100% renewables, full divestment, and to accelerate clean energy adoption, $1 billion investment in wind and solar jobs. How about you?
Right on. I'm here with Citizens Climate Lobby and calling for a steadily rising fee to be placed on all fossil fuel sources to help us transition to 100% clean energy. And then return that money back to the citizens, protect especially the vulnerable lower income and middle class families from the rising fossil fuel costs during that transition. What are your thoughts about an approach like a carbon fee?
Is that similar to what they've been trying in Washington State? I remember reading how some environmental groups were split over whether it would be good and effective.
Well, you definitely follow your climate news. You know, this fall in Washington State, people are voting on a referendum that's supported by a wide coalition of environmental groups, including CCL. It's similar to carbon fee and dividend, except that only a small portion of the money is spent helping low-income families, and most of the rest of the revenue goes to clean energy jobs and protecting important ecosystems. What are your thoughts about something like this?
Well, I want to see 100% renewables as soon as possible, however we can get there. I tend to think that governments placing direct regulations on energy creates the right kind of pressure that companies will need to respond to. And I'm skeptical of the support that fossil fuel companies have in policies like carbon fee and dividend. What do you think?
Well, I think it's important to put a price on carbon as soon as possible at as many places within our country to set the price right, send the signal to accelerate our clean energy transition. In fact, state proposals that vary actually can help force Congress to do something that's coherent federally. What are your thoughts on how groups can collaborate to create this broader vision?
I guess I think it's important to understand each other's priorities and where we can align or steer people towards complementary goals.
Yeah, totally agree. I know for CCL, we're really for viable, effective state and local efforts, looking out for lower income families especially. And we want to increase the pressure on the federal government to act. We need to decarbonize across the world rapidly. And I think the carbon fee and dividends can be a big part of the solution. What's your take on how to best to get a climate bill passed through our government and make it scalable to other countries as well?
Well, I have no idea right now with this administration. But what really eats me up is when it feels like we're being divided and conquered, when environmental groups in the end are pushing for the same goals yet seem to get in each other's way of being effective.
Well, I couldn't agree more. Here's my card. It's been great to talk to you today, and I hope your group keeps charging ahead. It's all hands on deck. We look forward to setting up maybe another chance to connect over a mixer or more formal meeting. I'd love to see how we can work together.
Thanks. Same to you.
All right, so let's go back to the phones here and just do a quick analysis of what you thought Miranda's impression of CCL was from this exchange with Mark, where you think she might belong on the Six Americas. Let's also just start sharing what are our goals for interactions like this. How is it different from the other scenarios that we've already talked about? Feel free to share as well if you unmute about what you noticed that Mark did, what was effective in bringing out more information and bonding with Miranda, or building that connection again in the framework we've been talking about.
So for me, it starts with acknowledging that much of the time when we're talking, we have our own agenda for the conversation. Like I want to talk about what I'm interested in and perhaps win you over to my way of thinking and get you to care about what I care about. But I think the most impactful conversations are ones that identify mutual interests without trying to convince or twist any arms. Of the things I care about and could tell you more about, which ones do you actually want to hear more about? So to improve our conversations, I think it's really helpful to first understand ourselves and where we're coming from before entering into the conversation. Like I mentioned earlier, being fearful about climate change and feeling urgent about acting. You know, this drives me sometimes to see conversation as a key opportunity to convince others to act too and support my solution. Knowing that about myself ahead of time helps me be more self-aware during conversation and try and catch myself when I'm being particularly driven or talkative or ignoring where the other person is at. So I invite us all to reflect, you know, after this call, what are some of your blind spots or Achilles heels or, you know, things that make you less than effective in conversation sometime? Mark, did you want to add to that?
I like to think about the goal. The first conversation is to determine if it's possible to have the second one. Ellie Sparks, CCL's field development director, likes to think of it as going out on a date to see if there's a natural space, common understanding, where we can enjoy collaborating. I hope that we gave some examples that showed how we could maybe shut down that opportunity for further interaction down the road.
Yeah, and to take that a step further, to consider before having conversation, to consider what's the goal of our interactions. You know, Dr. Hayhoe reminds us that it's to bond and connect and inspire. And I would say even more succinctly, the goal is partnership, right? See where we can partner, not to persuade. It's to find that overlap between our interests and other people's without needing to ask them to change to our point of view. You know, finding where we can naturally work together. And I invite you after this call to think, you know, what are your goals for these kinds of conversations?
You know, CCL has all these wonderful resources like laser talks, educational materials, webinars like this are saved in CCL community. And we're really geared up for working with Congress and building a common ground with, say, people on both sides of the aisle. What we're trying to identify tonight is all this background is only as important as focusing on winning over the hearts, not just the minds. Not starting with the laser talk, starting with connecting as human beings. Thinking back, the most effective conversations have always been with someone who has shown an interest. Those people are now my friends and network. If someone's not interested, they'll change the subject. If they do show an interest, I'll take the next step. Otherwise, I think it's key for all of us to remember not to let over-exuberance get in the way of a good conversation and engagement long before the potential for recruitment exists. If you don't win somebody over emotionally, they're not going to connect with you. They're not going to see your positions or solutions as persuasive. So you got to connect, you know, again, on an authentic human level. And this reminds me of a phrase that I heard Mark Reynolds share at my very first climate advocate training: be interested instead of interesting. So that's the other thing when you're thinking about this afterwards, how your conversations can be better. Think about, well, how am I interested, not just interesting?
I really like that. And I like to think of laser talks as something to keep in our pocket, not as the main goal for the conversation, but something to keep, almost like a hyperlink. Information that we only share when people click on us, like that they, and the way they click on us is either we ask them explicitly, oh, it sounds like you're interested in blah, is that right? And if they say yes, then that's a click. And then we share the information. So I like to think of it as we need to be like hyperlinks without being hyper, right? Asking them, are you sure you want me to open this link? Always asking permission. You know, if I understand you correctly, you want to hear more about blah. And offering just a little information at a time.
Yeah. And another important connection for me is that, you know, with our talk is with the Environmental Voter Project. It highlighted that environmental voters often rank climate change as number one or two concern. So if we're going to influence our members of Congress to take carbon fee and dividend seriously and bring it actually to a vote, we have to convince others that conversations about climate solutions aren't intimidating. So there's people that are out there that are concerned, getting them talking with others as well. And again, thinking about that and what the takeaways here, what have you all done or found helpful making climate solutions feel accessible to people?
Yeah, and connecting back to Leslie's marketing presentation at the conference, CCL has a personality. We're approachable and thoughtful and polished. And tonight we hope we've provided some examples of what that personality might look like in practice. In our own lives, it's a productive exercise to ask ourselves how to make a conversation approachable, thoughtful, and polished, and do it differently with other acquaintances than we might with an influencer. I think tonight's example started with being grounded in curiousness, like Mark said, being interested, and recognizing that whenever we step into a conversation, we're vying with that other person's own set of priorities, right? They probably have an agenda for a conversation. They have their particular interests. And as a result, it's essential to find out more about their interests and concerns in order to best align and be strategic in our conversations. And also, as Bob said, to try not to be strategic, like if they might not to be strategic and certainly not to give off the vibe of being strategic, but more to have the aim of having a good conversation, because everybody wants a good conversation. And if that's really what you're going for, then secondarily, these other good things will come of it, but we can't have those other things be the main goal.
Yeah, you know, this is great. Returning back once more to the Six Americas connection we made tonight, I'd like to kind of close by emphasizing, depending upon who you find you're talking to, it's important to emphasize differences in your approaches like we did through the practice examples. You first figure out, you know, where is this other person coming from, and the approaches you use with the environmental group advocate are different than the dismissive Rotary member or different than the cautiously concerned guy on the train. And once you figure out which of the six Americas they're fitting into, you can tailor your message, you can bond, you can find your mutual areas of agreement. But you got to listen first, find where that person is.
I'd love to just a big round of applause for Mark and for Miranda. Thank you both for your insights. I'm glad that we get to share them with the whole network. Again, here's just a quick throwback to our three-step framework of bonding and then connecting and then inspiring back to that bond. All right, so if you're interested in getting more involved, we have a series of other resources and ways to be active. First up, we have the Effective Communications Action Team, was what we've also called motivational interviewing in the past, really that's focused on learning and practicing these communication skills in real-life scenarios. They meet the second Wednesday of the month, which actually is this coming Wednesday, September 12th, and you can go to the Action Team directory here that we're showing you and then click on Effective Communications to then join and find out. Also, not only can you join live, there's also a bunch of other formal webinars where you can learn about open questions, reflections, summaries, affirmations, and really the ability to provide a lot of these in your conversations. I'll also just really quickly point out that we have wonderful communications lessons. All of them are available. We'll show the URL here at the very end of the last screen. But if you're interested in the work that Dr. Rob Weiler has highlighted, as well as a lot of the work that we've had on prior CCUs, please check these out. We'd love to have you jump into other ones that stand out to you as ones that you'd be interested in learning more about. And what I'd love to do just to tie this all together is highlight a quote by the famous sociologist Dr. Rob Weiler, who actually was on CCL's national call several years ago, with really, I think, a frame that helps us weave why this is important. People's moral values, Dr. Weiler writes, are their most deeply held beliefs. Folks really struggle to understand the perspective of someone with a fundamentally different sense of right and wrong. People are willing to fight and die for these values. And this might seem intuitive, but studies suggest it's something that most of us really struggle to do. It turns out that when we go to talk to someone on an issue, we talk like we're speaking into a mirror. To come up with solutions, we must take the time to really listen to one another, to understand one another's values, and to think creatively about why someone with very different political and moral commitments from their own should nonetheless come to agree with them. Empathy and respect, that which we've highlighted tonight in these conversations, will be critical if we are going to sew our country back together again. And that we will, and I hope that these conversational resources have been helpful for you tonight in that process. And if you're interested in reaching out after tonight, here is Miranda, Mark, and Maya's contact information. Have a wonderful night. It's an honor to work together with you week in and week out, and I have a strong feeling that with these kinds of conversation, we're a lot closer than we think on the big movement we need. So thank you, everyone, for being here tonight.